I'm the host of Tony of Time Daily. This is my guest, my new soul family member, Ashley Hall. And I free flow, Ashley. You can just be yourself. I don't stick to script because creative geniuses, we don't do that. So take the floor.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me on today and to chat. I'm Ashley, and I tend to go by Ashley Renee, but Ashley Hall is definitely has been my name since I was born. I just started putting my middle name in there. I guess a little bit about me. I am a trauma therapist. I'm a yoga instructor, a breathwork facilitator. I help people to liberate themselves from their traumas, from deep grief. And I do energy work and just so many beautiful, amazing things that help others to empower themselves.
And you have a podcast called?
I have a podcast called The She-Wolf, or The Secrets of the She-Wolf, where we dive into everything around trauma, hardships, challenges, love, loss, everything in life that we as humans experience that may be uncomfortable or not really talked about. And I really just started that podcast so that we could speak about all of those things and bring them to the surface so that others knew that there is help out there and alternative ways to heal, and also to let others know that they're not alone, that there are others going through the same things.
Yeah, the human companionship need. Yeah. Helps alleviate the trauma.
Right, right. And I think one of the biggest things that helps to alleviate trauma is trust. So that human connection. So within trauma, somewhere we were told that it's not safe. Maybe it wasn't safe to trust our decisions. Maybe it wasn't safe to trust our caregivers or others around us. And so one of the things that I've noticed that heals trauma the quickest is for someone to begin to feel safe again within themselves and around others.
Oh, so we're replacing a negative PR word reality with a positive PR word reality. Go from trauma to trust, because trust is the original design. Gotcha.
Right. And coming back to that space of trust, but also a deep love. So some victims of trauma have been so stuck in their victim mentality for so long that they don't even know what trust or love feel like. And so there are things and studies being done where animals are a really amazing way for someone to feel trust and love again, because they can bury their hands in their fur and feel the softness and hug the animal. And the animal is reciprocating all of this beautiful love. And so they start to actually correlate these good fuzzy feelings with being able to trust and love again. And once they become familiar with what the feelings or the sensations of love and trust actually are, then they're able to carry that out through the rest of their life in other situations.
Wow, because in order to feel that sense of I am of serenity, that adoration needs to complement it.
Yeah.
I love your psychology. We're very twin like that way.
Psychology is so amazing. And you know what? I went to holistic therapy school. So I started in massage therapy school. When I was 18, I left my hometown and I moved to Phoenix, Arizona. And I started massage school because I was like, I want to have my own business, but I want to help people. And so that started me on my path of learning to understand ourselves as humans and energetics. And as we are one with the universe, we are God in expression.
Thank you. I feel the same. But go ahead.
So with that, I kind of continued down the road. And at one point I remember thinking psychology would be so important. Psychology is such an important study with the human brain and how humans as animals react or respond to our environment. And I had actually started school to become a psychologist. And one of my first few classes, the instructor was explaining some theory. And I told her, I was like, I disagree with that completely. And all she did was look at me and she goes, "You're a holistic therapist, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She goes, "There's no need for you to be in this class. We're not going to get along." And I was like,
wow. Oh,
okay. And the more I started looking at the path of psychology through the Western model of schooling, no, I don't agree with a lot of it. It has valuable knowledge, but I don't agree with how they do things, or, you know, like there's so many things that on the holistic viewpoint, you can't put the mind in and of itself as a single entity or a single unit. Like it has to be in correlation with mind, body, and soul.
Oh, so what do you disagree with so my audience can understand?
So one of the things, and don't get me wrong, psychology has its place, especially in a lot of the new holistic techniques and practices that they are actually bringing into that space now. But one of the things that I disagree with strongly is having someone explain their trauma. So this is traditional talk therapy. So traditional talk therapy is one of those things that can actually re-traumatize the person because it remains stuck in their body, but they're rethinking about it and re-talking about it over and over again while the energetic is still stuck in the body.
Wow.
So this leads to people being re-traumatized and actually staying within that same trauma loop because the limbic brain system doesn't correlate, you know, talking about the trauma as being able to release it. Now, where talk therapy is very beneficial is in spaces where the trauma was secretive. So someone got molested and they were never able to speak about it. So in moments like that, where you had a secretive trauma, to speak about it can help tremendously because you take your power back by actually being able to talk about it. But in that same realm, you still have to go back into the energetic and the mind-body connection to release the energetics and the sensations that came with that trauma.
Oh, so if we knew all the reasons for the trauma, it can backfire our psyche and do the exact total results and outcome that we did not intend to have as the results and outcome, because trauma, it brutalizes the mind, the heart, the soul, and all things of that person in their own devastating extent. I love holistic, one of my favorite words, and it's one of my favorite experiences. I'm big into wholeness because I like the comprehensive life instead of here and there, here over here. So I think your model is better because it heals the entirety, not just a portion. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, beautiful. And that's, I, you know, just to elaborate on that, a lot of ancient cultures really focused on the wholeness of the individual and the wholeness of their communities. So they were really supportive of everything of mind, body, and soul. And you look at things today in our system of medicine, and one that comes to mind is, you know, psychiatric disorders. So bipolar, schizophrenic, you know, different things like this. While there is elements of chemical imbalance there, ancient cultures would actually tell you that there are spirits or entities attached to that person living out their stories through that human body.
That makes sense.
So if you're not grounded enough and supported enough, which we're not supported in our society and taught the spiritual side of things, we're taught with religion to look outside of ourselves for happiness. Mm-hmm. And so with all of this conditioning and programming, most people, when they're dealing with something like schizophrenia, bipolar, you know, just all of these different things. Yes, like I said, there might be that chemical imbalance there where drugs may or may not help. Where drugs are going to help, I also think that herbs and plant medicine could help even more because you're connecting with the spirit of the plant.
Right.
But the other thing, you know, like one of my, I can't even remember the author who said this, but it was negative thought forms are entities from the underworld coming up to play their story through you. And so if you are not right. standing in your power, mm-hmm. you won't be able to know whether that is you acting out this life that is creating chaos, or if it is something attached to you actually playing its story through you. And in situations like this, you know, sometimes you do need help, you know, a priest or a spiritual guide, a shaman, you know, different things like this. But a lot of the times you can ask this energy, who are you and why are you trying to play your story through me? Nine times out of 10, these other entities are there because they don't like where they are. They're trying to be seen. They're trying to be heard and get attention to mm-hmm. move on. So what we can do when we actually realize that there is another entity playing their story through us, we can ask them what they need or what they want, you know, what the why is, who they are. And then we can allow, visualize a light for them to ascend into their next life, into the next dimension, and not play their story through humans.
Yes, I really like the part where you said looking outside, because I think God is within, not external. And I like how I'm thinking of Broadway when you said telling the story, because we all, I learned from being a trauma victim myself that abusers teach you how to be an actor. It's like constantly trying out for a role. And you're taught to have genuineness deprivation, right? And so when you were talking about making sure that everything and everyone has a soul and a spirituality, a nucleus, if you will, like a center of what oozes out, who oozes out, and what does not, who does not. I get you. I love this.
Yeah. And I think that so many are stuck in that space of looking outside themselves. And a huge part of that, I think, is that our religion and our society, even in the medical system, you know, we've been taught to trust someone in a white coat to know what is best for us when we are the ones living inside of this vessel.
Oh, so we're taught to surrender our beautiful authority.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting that you say authority like that, because what I've been working with a lot of clients on recently is what are you giving authority over you? Right. So people with fears and insecurities and things like this is human condition. It's human nature to feel fear or to, you know, to feel these things. But when I ask people, you know, what are you giving authority over you when they're dealing with fears and insecurities and things like this, you know, we have to give permission for something to have authority over us. So if we have fear boiling up in us because of some situation or experience, and we let it overtake us, we are giving fear authority over us.
Yes, that's an unhealthy authorization.
Right? But if we step back into our power and center ourselves in the middle of the chaos and be like, no, I feel you. Thank you for bringing this awareness to me. Mm-hmm. Now you're free to go and be alchemized back into love and harmony.
Oh, switching formation and making, and then there's this maintenance of, as you say, awareness. It's emotions are directing us to states of mind that we're familiar with, but it can also enhance our familiarity, which is at times stepping into the unfamiliarity, our discomfort zone, mm-hmm. to maybe strengthen our comfort zone. True comfort is the antithesis of false comfort. It's a healthy antithesis. Okay, I get you.
And that's that goes into a little bit of like, you know, I live this way. I fully lean into the uncomfortable. So my belief is if we get comfortable, we're not growing. We become stagnant.
Yeah.
But if we are uncomfortable, then we are always pushing our edges and leaning into our boundaries so that we can continue to grow and expand in those beautiful ways.
Yes, I learned this terminology recently called comfort addiction. It revolutionized my life because I met so many people who've had it. And then I think about how I was indoctrinated with it. That was one of the themes of trauma that I was unfortunately forced upon me. And I noticed that a lot of justice for the least of these, the marginalized, isn't done because comfort addiction. That's why you have ambition addiction. That's why you have approval addiction. It's abusing the gift of pleasure, abusing the gift of relaxation, and it's self-enemizing in layperson's terms.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we live in a society where we're overstimulated all the time. We're
Yes.
always overstimulated, whether we're driving, whether we're watching TV on our phone. You know, there's so many things in our environment that are so overstimulating to our system. And so it is really hard for people to feel comfortable to sit in silence and stillness. And there's almost this... And I've noticed it within myself lately. So I've been working so hard to launch my new retreat programs, my new manifestation amplification containers, and just all of these beautiful programs. And right now I'm kind of in a lull, is what I'm going to call it. And so there's this part of me that's like, oh, I should be doing more. But then when I sit with that, I'm like, why? I've already done the work. Now I'm waiting for the fruit to come. You know, I'm sitting in a space of trust and receptivity that everything is going to be just fine. Everything is always okay.
Right. It's what you're basically describing, inner peace, and I like to call it self world peace. I just called it on the fly because that's where simple living comes in. I'm a simple living person, and I love minimalism. You're focusing on need, which is need often keeps stillness and quiet, which are positive things. Something to keep developing within us. While if you have want, I want power, I want fame, I want fortune. But the emptiness still engulfs you so horrifically that we think need is want, want is need, because they may feel the same, but they're not.
Right. And so I like to think of need as when you say you need something, it implies that you are lacking something.
Yeah, the antonyms and the synonyms, right?
Yeah, when you say I desire something, it doesn't mean that you're lacking it. You just desire to have whatever that, you know, thing or experience is. Yeah, and I think too that a lot of people have been taught over the time that, you know, really leaning into your self pleasures, you know, worthiness, that you're worthy of abundance and prosperity and all of these beautiful pleasures of life, that is selfish, that's not okay.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead. It's, you know, it's I think it's the way a lot of us have grown up is feeling that we weren't worthy enough or good enough to want an abundance of currency, or, you know, an abundance of prosperity in our life, or, you know, just all of these underlying limiting beliefs.
Right, because often the word selfish has a demonizing connotation. Like, the meaning often implies that you're haughty, arrogant, boastful. But there are times you have to put yourself first. Life is about being, I call it contextual wisdom, because wisdom produces proper context. A lame person term, situational. Okay, a sense of humor I have with you will be different than my parents. Wisdom goes, okay, that doesn't mean deception, that means discernment, right? Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate how you said need can be lacking. Like, if I'm malnourished, I do need food. Mm-hmm. So lacking in that sense doesn't make something wrong with me. In our society, if you don't fulfill your desires, then you are not, then you are what you're lacking. I'm like, it's pretty harsh that you're confusing me as for an object. Mm-hmm. Okay, I like this.
And I don't know why this comes up right at the moment, and this may or may not sound kind of harsh, but take obesity. Okay, so obesity is one of those things that is running rampant in our world right now.
Yeah.
But if you look at obesity and the energetics behind it, these are people who are trying to fulfill something that is missing inside of them. So they may not feel accepted or loved or whatever it is. And so their body physically manifests all of this fluff and comfort to make them feel good, which inevitably makes them feel worse about themselves. So it's a really interesting cycle that happens when we're not combining mind, body, and soul wellness of the whole being.
Yeah, like I noticed that, because I don't want my audience confused. You have naturally big people, then there's concerning eating habits.
Yes.
We're talking about, for my audience, they may not know. I'm just letting them know that we're talking about concerning eating habits. And so I like, because often it's a sedentary lifestyle. That's, to me, one of the biggest indicators or biggest causations of obesity when you're just chilling, like this pandemic. Because we're in a house, you're more susceptible to a sedentary lifestyle, because everything is at home, you're typing. You only get up to make sure you edited something, but other than that, you're just, unfortunately, a couch potato, a lot of us. And so, yes, as human beings, we do have warped as well as sensible responses to our sense of legitimacy and actual legitimacy. And a lot of people have not been correctly instructed on how to appropriately meet desires as well as necessities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, for our listeners, just simple things like getting out in nature and taking a walk, going and sitting out on your front deck in the sunshine and listening to the birds and the noises around you. And if you're in a city, that's going to be a little bit more difficult, but really allowing yourself to experience life through all of your senses, and allowing yourself to explore life with a childlike curiosity, you know, view everything as if it is the first time you're ever seeing it.
Oh, that novelty streak. I love this. Because that keeps the euphoria for life blossoming. Because once you do something good, you have to keep updating that good by keep doing the same good you're doing. And then when you're introduced to new good, combine the two and just keep the goodness party going.
Yeah, Yeah. And I think it's so important, you know, when there's a saying and I can't remember what it is. It talks about like the beauty of life and how, oh, I wish I could remember the exact saying, but essentially it's if you can't find the beauty in your life, surround your life with beauty. And then that beauty will start to penetrate your life.
Right. A wholesome reversal. Be what you need. And at times you can be what you desire. I love this.
Yeah. When I have clients and even friends and family who, you know, and I do this with myself too, like when they get into a space of being down and they, you know, they're talking about all of the negative things or all of the things they wish they had or the things they're lacking, I like to bring their attention to, okay, look at the abundance in your life and find the gratitude.
Oh.
Because that can simply be the fact that you have food in your fridge, or that your animals have food to eat, or that you have a house to live in, or you have clean water to drink without walking 5 miles.
Right. It's the 360 degree or 180 focus that's being redirection.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of gratitude. Okay.
Yeah. Gratitude has been a saving grace in my life in so many ways. And it always had been a really strong practice of mine to just find everything that I'm really grateful for. But when it really set in a very deep rooted way was after I went to Bali. And going to Bali, it was this third world country where they literally had to walk miles to go get clean water. You know, there was up to 5 generations living in one household. You know, there's so many things where here in America, we are spoiled brats. Like,
yes.
We have so many things.
Green.
Where in third world countries, they're lucky if they have dinner that night. You know, like, there's so many things that hit me so deeply that was like, wow, like I live a fucking lavish life.
Well said. Yes. I mean, because in America, a word that is a buzzword, greed. Greed to me is a synonym for addiction. In this case, it's a perverse addiction. Like, I think a positive addiction is gratefulness we're talking about. I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for Ashley. I'm thankful for this conversation. It's an addiction that's not self-destructive. It's self-productive. Now, that kind of addiction is when, like greed, I have all the wealth and I'm the 1%. You poor people, I'm going to war against you because you're stepping on my affluent privilege, which is a way of strongly lying to yourself immeasurably, and a deep disconnection to humanity, kindness to humanity, people. Wow.
Yeah. I was reading this morning and some really interesting things. So I would call myself an alchemist, you know, an energetic alchemist of sorts, where within the trauma work, we really go into like, how do I alchemize this back into something that aligns with my desired future? And so what this really brings me to is like, and I've said this 1,000 times, but a lot of people I find are either stuck in the past because there's regret, there's resentment, there's pain, there's hurt, there's whatever that is, right? And it shifted their perspective of reality. Then you have the present moment, which no one seems to be sitting in. Everybody is stuck in the past or focused on the future.
Mm-hmm.
And not even focused on the future, but worried about the future. So if you're stuck in the past and you're worried about what the future is going to hold, what are you creating in this very moment?
self-thievery of the enjoyment of mindfulness. It's when you say, I learned this in college. I think of mindfulness, think of meditation, I put them together. Meditating on, wow, I am gorgeous inside and out. And life's tragedies do not strip my all around gorgeousness away from me because I don't permit that authority.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like to tell people, you know, try to view experiences in life not as good or bad, just rather that it is what is. It is in the moment.
Oh, so okay.
With this, I also invite our listeners to look at the silver lining, look at the gifts that you received from the past. There's always something, no matter how painful the situation was, that you learned something valuable that is a gift to bring into this present moment. Even if that gift was simply, well, I'll never do that again. You know, that is a beautiful knowledge of knowing that you don't need to take that path anymore. To sit in the present moment and truly align your energetics and yourself. So using meditation, using mindfulness and those beautiful things that you just talked about, of really becoming really, really attuned to your core of who you are and what you desire, no matter what the past had to say, no matter what others have to say about you, really aligning to your truth. What is your heart's desire and truth so that you can align to the energetics and the frequency of what you want your future to look like versus worrying about the future and making your worries negative affirmations.
So I like how you talked about avoiding what is commonly called black and white thinking, which in my view is one of the reasons why you've had your trumps at mine, because when you look at life as either or, it's the stimulation of cruelty. But to me, empathy is in the shades of gray. Empathy is in the gray areas, the contradictions, the complexities. So those are words I learned in college, and I've been in love with these concepts because I grew up in a very black and white thinking world, whether it was being violated at 5 or deep conservative theology. And I was trying my best to subconsciously flee and depart. It wasn't until I got to college where self-discovery is pretty much very beautifully prevalent in school. I said, oh, so I can be in the center. I don't have to be way over there or way over here. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of our society really does think in that black or white pattern of life, of everything. And I think that's part of really tuning into the pleasures of life is exploring absolutely the sweetness, the bitterness, the sour, the every single sensation and taste and brilliancy of color that life has to offer, and that it's not just black or white.
Right. Because I just said that, you know, this, like conversations like this have helped me to be more at, to, well, what's best for, me to enjoy the experience more often of being myself instead of making it out to be this way or that way. And I was taught the boom back part of life, and now I get to consciously go, I love the breath I'm taking. I get to inhale, I get to exhale. And back then I couldn't breathe. But now I'm more of, I don't need to be in control of everything. I'm a controller, I'm supposed to control, it's all that matters. Instead of,
Yeah. And, you know, and it goes back to, you know, what I said earlier about people not feeling safe. And I think everyone has experienced a level of trauma in their life, no matter how big or small. And I would never weigh one trauma over another. And so I think that a lot of people, again, don't feel safe. And that not feeling safe is a constriction which doesn't allow the breath. And so we have so many people on our planet right now who are shallow chest breathing, and it's basically their body's automatic system working without their conscious awareness or consent of anything. And so one of the biggest things that I do is teaching clients to breathe again. And it's so simple, but it brings so much awareness and mindfulness back into your everyday life.
Oh, okay. So breathe without suffocation.
Yeah. Yeah. Breathe and you won't suffocate. And one of the things I want to add to that is when I'm talking to people about breathing, I also let them, I ask them to, or invite them to reaffirm to themselves while they are breathing, I am safe. I have survived. I have always survived. I get to choose to thrive.
Yes, let's go there.
And I am whole and complete in this time and space.
Ah, so we start with I, that's assertive language.
Mm-hmm. The I am statement is one of the most powerful affirmations you can use in this realm. The I am statement is actually a tool of alchemy to switch the way our brain states and our neurotransmitters are connecting with negative versus positive thought patterns.
Oh, wow. I'm actually learning something new. And can you tell me what alchemy means? Because that sounds like me, but I want to make sure.
Yeah. So alchemy is, so there's two different types of alchemy. So there's, I'm trying to think of the right words. So there is mundane alchemy, which is like the old, alchemy where you take, you introduce different compounds together in order to use an alchemical process to make something else. So you might take two metals together and make gold. You know what I mean? So that alchemical process of taking more than one thing together to combine them and make something else.
The word metaphor comes to mind while you were talking. It's like, that sounds like a life lesson.
Yeah. And then you go into dynamic alchemy, which is derived from Greek, I'm pretty sure. And it's originally called like the divine alchemy. So it's the alchemy of the mind, body, and spirit.
Okay.
So it's the recognition of unity of spirit and matter through certain techniques. It reverses the polarity of one's physical life or material plane from a lower vibration into that desired higher vibrational quality.
I'm a divine alchemist. Thank you for that, assisting me in my self-knowledge. I appreciate you.
Yay!
I think it's wonderful, instead of living in a judgment freakishness of states of perceived or misperceived factuality or actuality, you should just focus on the insights that are our gentle guides throughout our livelihoods. That's mm-hmm. what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think a big piece of alchemy is realizing that we are not humans in one plane. We are multidimensional beings. Woo! We are in this body in this current time, but that does not mean that we can't walk between dimensions and realms as well as other entities and spirits.
That makes me think, I was taught two types of spirits in conservative theology, either an angel or a demon. Mm-hmm. And that reminds me of the black and white thing talked about earlier, because multidimensional, I'm thinking of multifaceted, more than one layer, more than one facet, more than one aspect. So we have to utilize all sides of us at the appropriate times, the appropriate places, the appropriate artists, instead of you have to be nice and smiling all the time, or you're always an asshole. Like, right. No, I have to be all inclusive to myself. That's how I can do that with others. But go ahead.
Right. And, you know, and that does go into the black and white, the angels and demons. And, you know, and I think that goes back to religion and the way right. that we have been taught through religion, because it's, I don't see the spirit world as so black and white, you know.
Thank you.
And looking at it in that sense, you know, for the longest time, I was like, what in the fuck? I am weird as shit. Like, I see spirits. I hear spirits. Like, I feel them. What the fuck? No one else around me seems to be doing this. But it's because so many people have turned off their abilities to feel, to hear, to know. You know, our guides, like I'm very clairaudient. So I hear things a lot, and my guides will speak to me through a song. I'll be asking a question internally, like, you know, what should I focus on to launch this new program? And a song will come on and it'll be like, I am the light or whatever. And it'll completely validate or you know, let me know that I'm on the right path, that the things I'm thinking are like what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right. Because I think it, and I also think another thing was, is evil a choice? If you're telling me I'm fucked up when I'm born, or shitty when I'm born, sin enters that. I'm like, so is evil a choice or not a choice? That's the confusing thing that they presented to me. I was like, but I'd rather it be something that I have the option to at least not do, versus, well, you have to repent for what I can't fucking help. Helpless infant.
Oh my gosh. So repentance and sin has always been such an interesting thing to me, because when I was a kid, my stepdad was a hardcore Christian, and my mom became that hardcore Christian after they married. Excuse me.
Wow.
And it felt so wrong to me for me mm-hmm. to be a kid and do something, and then all of a sudden I have to repent to God. Wait, what? What do you mean I have to repent to God? Like, I chose to do that, which means I am the one that I should be saying sorry to, because I didn't make the best choice, maybe, you know, like, I think this is so interesting that in our religious society, if you will, that it's not only do they teach you to look outside yourself, but that you're serving a fearing God that you have to fear for everything you do. Not okay. Like, if vibration and frequency of love is the highest thing that they are teaching, then why the fuck am I going to fear the God that is teaching me love?
Yes. I love this, because I learned this concept, you can talk to the God within yourself. So I can repent. I wouldn't say repent to me. I would say make amends, self-making amends. Doesn't that sound more pleasant versus you're going to hell? So I'm hell on earth because of how I was born again.
Right. And I see. So, and that goes into a few different things for me. So, one, we're not born innately bad. We Yay! Are not born innately evil beings. As a baby, we are simply surviving, and what we are thriving to receive is love and support.
I have nothing to add on that. Perfectly said.
And on the side of repentance, I think that, and this is my belief, and I think that it kind of goes along with yours, is that if you do something that's out of alignment, it's going to cause chaos in your life. Instead of beating yourself up over making that decision where you now have chaos in your world, why don't instead you forgive yourself, take a breath and say, well, fuck, that was dumb. Now I get to make a new decision.
Right. My dumb decision doesn't make me the dumbass.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I just think that it's just really, like, interesting. Like, I've learned that we're all gods and that we're all divine beings. That's why I love New Age and New Thought. Yes. I think that, you know, that we all have healing powers that are resting inside of us, that we can create any reality that we can. As I heal more I create more of the realities that I did not get to express from other people, because we all have dysfunction in our families, and we have to create the realities to gift ourselves instead of, hey, you dysfunctional person, do it, you know, create the reality. They can't. That's why it's called dysfunction.
And it all, that dysfunction comes from our limiting beliefs. So
right.
That is what you just said is alchemy in and of itself.
Yes,
we can use alchemy with our thought forms to make them into matter. So we can bring spirit down, alchemize it, and turn it into matter.
Ah, I'm an alchemist. We're both alchemists. Yay.
And so there's so much power in that. And I think that so many people get stuck in their undesired reality because they're disassociated from themselves, but they're also allowing their limiting beliefs or self-sabotaging beliefs to run their reality instead of alchemizing them into something that is going to align them to the frequency that will serve them to create their desired reality.
That is so brilliant that we don't have to have who and what it is the same. It's like, I think of wine. I think there's some people are grapes to wine. When I think of crushing, I think of being prideful. But the water to wine, some people are just good people doing the best they can, never cause any strife, but life is just beating on them. They just need somebody to help change their form. They're still water, they're just alcoholic water, you know. So I like what you're saying.
You know, and the people that are going through this life and feel like their world is falling apart and life just isn't aligning to them the way that they would like it to, is because they are stuck in their negative belief patterns. You know, our thoughts come from our beliefs. And so when we have thoughts, we need to become aware of what is that thought? What is that daydream? And then backtrack, okay, what is the belief that I have that makes me think this way? Because our thoughts become our reality. And so if you can dive into what are my thoughts, where is my limiting belief? And then look into that belief that you have. And does this come from yourself? Is this something that you truly believe? Or is this something that you were conditioned and programmed to believe because of a certain situation or experience you had in the past?
Oh, so the brain can be what I encounter. I just have to respect that gift to have a joyful formation, which makes the joyful release. It's release, but it's not departure release. It's released, but it's in, still in my face. It's out of me, but it still surrounds me. Got it. I love alchemy.
And I think that it's really important to note too that it's not what we do in this life that matters. It's who we be.
Who we be. I like that interesting grammar. Who we be. That's like a nice rap song.
Because the thing of it is I can't change your mind on anything, but I can make you think, right?
Yes.
So yeah. We have no actual control, even though we try to take control as humans. We have no actual control over any other being in our life. So if we want to shift our communities, our families, our relationships, whatever it is, that comes down to who are you being? Who are you reflecting out into the world as yourself? Because if we are peaceful, if we are centered, if we are fully attuned with ourselves, others are going to notice that and ask, what are you doing to be this way? Why are you so calm? Why are you so collected? You know?
Oh, truthful embodiment.
Yes, exactly. Embodiment is truly living in integrity with yourself. And in living in integrity means that you are brutally honest with yourself and everyone around you to be in your true state of being.
I am well, I experience that more every day because I allow myself to grow every day. But you said it's really, really crucial to me because I've struggled with the concept of honesty when you've been like, you know my story of child abuse. I had to alter my views on sex. I was taught world domination-based sexuality, repressed sexuality, or a mixture of the two, one by the other. You can go back and forth and all day. Either way, the results are still catastrophic. I found wholesome sexuality. You know what I mean? I found a sense of sexuality that it's in moderation. It's not too much or too little. And it's with the integrous people. And it's a healthy mixture of compassionate love with bodily lust.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, we can go into pleasure as well. I think we kind of talked about this last time as well, but the way our society has conditioned us to believe that if you have sex before marriage, you're sinning or you're bad, or, there's so many things around sex and pleasure where it makes people feel shame and guilt and all of these different things. But if you really look at it, it's human nature. It is something that is meant to be enjoyed. And so if you're shutting down that energetic expression, it's going to express itself in an unhealthy way.
Right. Like, why would... Okay, it goes back to religion again. I'm going to make that dazzling-looking humans and then say, hey, you act out your urges on the hot people I made. I'm like, but you're asking me to do something that is just impossible to my DNA as a human. So this whole, well... you can only have sexual integrity if you put a ring on it. No, you don't need a relationship or a status to not be fucked up, not be full of shit.
Right.
You can be damn good without those things because self-ownership, those don't own your self-ownership.
Right. I actually wear, so after my last 6-year relationship, so I was married once before, and then I had a 6-year relationship. And so after that 6-year relationship, I put a ring on my own finger.
Self-marriage. How about that?
Because I decided, so one of the things was, is that I found a pattern within myself. And I think so many of us go through this where when you get into a relationship, you kind of morph into each other and you lose parts of yourself. Or you can. And so I found out that I was losing a lot of myself because I didn't truly know myself in the first place.
Wow. So
when I ended that relationship, I decided that my only devotion was to myself first and foremost.
That's crystal clear intelligence.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's something, it's consciousness.
That's one of my favorite words now, consciousness. Because I've learned that we have Christ consciousness. If you want to heal, just study that. Go ahead. I know you're just hungry to say something.
So this book, if you're studying Christ consciousness, this book, I Am the Word, is so absolutely amazing. So he talks about in here, it's a channeled text, and it was written about 10 years ago. But essentially, it teaches you how to become Christ-like again. And yes, basically the steps to this remembering that you are the Christ consciousness and that you're not separate from God is the first stage is intention. The second part is acclimation to the frequency. So like we were talking about how align yourself to the frequency of the future you desire. And third part is receptivity. So I actually find, and I find this within myself as well, where fears and uncertainties and different things like that will overcome you when it comes to that stage of receiving. And this goes into people don't feel worthy or like they're enough or whatever in order to receive. So one of the most important parts, I think, is actually allowing ourselves to receive the downloads and the information that we are Christ consciousness in living form.
Yes. Yes. We are humanized self-messiahs without the whole saving from sin thing. You just take out the save from sin and say, no, we are sprouting and flourishing into the totality of our authenticity. Yes. You can be loving without being a Christian. You can be joyful without being a Christian. You can be peaceful without being a Christian. You can be gentle without being Christian. All positive characteristics, that's Christ-likeness. That is universal. It's also called universal Christ consciousness. I'm like, because I learned it from studying consciousness thinkers. I said, I love this. So it's not about rescuing human shit bags, but it has everything to do with preserving substance, preserving quality. It's like taking care of a pet. That's what preservation in this case means.
Right. Yeah. Why this is coming up, but it's really interesting how things have been changed through our timeline of humanity. So for instance, I'll give two examples of this. One is in the Bible, when it talks about the Son of God, it says S-O-N, right? Well, the original text was talking about the Son, S-U-N.
So they got the middle letter wrong.
They shifted it in order to shift the perspective of what you need in order to come into relation with God. They took the idea that we are God out of it.
Talk about dehumanization at its worst.
Right? The other one I think is very interesting was the parts of the Bible that have actually been taken out. So one of the parts of the Bible that were taken out talked about the goddess named Sin. She is the god of the moon, or she is the goddess of the moon. So you take light and dark, the sun and the moon. the equal balance of both.
Wow. I'm experiencing enlightenment, and I'm in love with the enlightenment experiencing. Wow. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
There's
you.
some deep research on it. There's actually a beautiful documentary that was made talking about how matriarchy has fallen over the years. So how women and the feminine energy used to be in the ruling space before patriarchy came over and like made women feel shameful and guilty and all of this suppression.
Okay, I have to go to Genesis here. I want to know your thoughts on Eve having it harder than Adam, even though Adam was supposed to be the leader. And the childbirth pains for her, but all he gets to do is sweat and toil. Take it away.
So for one, the snake in the garden that gave her the apple, I think, was the Kundalini or the conscious Christ-like energy giving her enlightenment.
Ah! So woman empowerment is not highly prized.
Right. There's another part in the Bible that Eve was not Adam's first mate.
Lilith.
Yeah. So because she stood in her power.
Yes.
They took her out.
That is true because basically they were not... It's something that they were sexually disagreeing on. Okay, which position Lilith wanted that Adam said, hell no?
Lilith wanted to be on top.
Oh, so does that mean that she wanted to be sexually in charge? But, okay. And Adam
there should always be that option for either to be in charge, quote, in sexual relation. But I think that it is absolutely amazing when the woman has the confidence to take charge in the bedroom.
Yay! Woo!
So, and going deeper into your question there about like the childbirth and all of that, personally, I think that that was put in there to make women think that that was a punishment or that they couldn't enjoy it. Because in studies through Tantra and holistic ways of living in, you know, some of the Eastern modalities, Eastern cultures, childbirth can actually be orgasmic.
Okay. Keep going. I'm stimulated.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I think that it the whole Bible is meant... Not the whole Bible. There are beautiful treasures within that, in the text, just like any old religious text. But I think that when you really look into the Bible, it is putting people into a slavery mindset.
I agree with every word you said. Yes, because shouldn't those books be updated? Because it's confusing. That was written for BC first century people, but our culture 2021 is way different.
Yeah. Not only that, but you cannot tell me that the Bible is truthful when there's over a fucking 100 different translations.
And how many errors are we talking about? and conflating contradictions? Agreed.
Yeah. So I was actually reading the Bible not long ago because I was trying to find a verse that mentioned an herb actually called hyssops that you can use for cleansing. A lot of the Bibles that I read through negated to mention the name of the herb at all.
But that means it's not a perfect document.
Bingo.
Why expect perfection from, I don't know. Human beings?
I don't know. I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. And if you're claiming to be perfect, then something is wrong.
Yes. I don't. Yes, I've overcame perfectionism. But wholeness, I can be whole and imperfect.
Yes.
Wholeness totally. I focus on that over the quirks. Because a lot of people think if you have quirks, you have flaws. Like, that's what I was taught in faith. I'm like, no, quirks are endearing. Sounds like, yeah, you're your own uniqueness. You're awesome. Yes. They didn't seem like flaws is about, oh, this and bullshit. Fuck you.
Yeah, and I think that quirks are beautiful gifts. You know, for the longest time, I used to shut mine down. I make little sounds and little squeaks and different things at different times, just because, especially if I'm excited or something like that. Just like, and I used to like not let myself make sounds because I was like, what if someone thinks I'm weird, or what if I offend someone, or whatever the story was in my head. And what I've noticed is that over the last few years, I now allow myself to just make whatever sound wants to bubble out of me. And it normally makes people laugh.
Right. Cause I make people laugh by my laughter. Like, I'll go, I'll really go into it. And that's just see, like your dog, your dog's quirk. Woo, he acted up. But I make people laugh by just being laughing loudly. And because of my eyes and facial expressions, that really gets people. So I look at quirks as a fleshly connectivity that resembles the spirit. See, that just came up on the fly.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Beautiful.
Thanks. Anything else you want to say?
Well, before we end, I can share a little mantra, I guess, that I tend to say to myself and give to others to really tune into the divinity that we all are.
Right. Go ahead, be your divine self.
So it goes, I feel myself as the spiritual fire of God. Woo! I see myself as an auric field of divine fire.
Mm.
I know myself as a holy son of God. I am the shining sun of life. I am the shining sun of love. I am the shining sun of infinite supply. I am love in action.
Wow. And then a previous point made for a comment on that one. It would be, is it inoffensive to not have other people know what you know, which is yourself in terms of your own completeness? That would be the true offense. Okay, and then what you just said, of course, we live in a gender sexuality world, so you can say son, daughter, them, they, pronouns.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's going into S-U-N, not S-O-N.
Okay, oh, so we're talking about weather. Okay, weather, right. So I can be my outstanding thunderstorm. I can quake with a sassiness, so to speak. Goddamn right, I am who the fuck I am.
So it goes into the actual sun, because that, in reference to energetic and universal terms, is the light that shines into the void. So the void is where creation is incubated, and when light comes into it, that's where the creation forms.
Because when I think of light, I think of sight. There's a reason why they rhyme.
Uh-huh.
It's like, to me, those are synonyms. Oh, so vision isn't always the eyeball. It can be the essence of me. Get ya.
Yeah, that third eye, the mind's eye for sight.
Ah, because this may see more than these two I was born with. I'm intrigued.
Exactly. When you're doing meditation and you're scanning your body, you're not scanning your body with your physical eyes. You're scanning your body with your mind's eye.
Oh, because there's the correlation needs, I mean, there's a heightening of the correlation between my skin and my me that I am, regardless of what I wear or don't wear. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Wow. I mean, I'm glad we got to talk today.
I am too. This has been fun. I love that we go down so many different rabbit holes and deep topics.
Yes. We are agreeable life forms.
Definitely.
When do I get to talk to Ashley again?
Oh, whenever we set up a time, I'm always open. And you always have my number, so feel free to text me anytime.
Oh, okay. Just let me know your schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
What I do with all my guests, I will send this to you so you can publish this on your own podcast. And I'll publish this on my podcast so our listeners can hear what we're saying.
Amazing. Beautiful. Yeah. If you want to just send me the audio file, because I don't use the video, but I can use the audio.
Oh, okay. I'll send you the audio.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for having me on today. This has been fun.
And thank you for being my soul family too. Take care.
Yeah. Have a beautiful day. Hey, blessings.
Oh, real quick. I can't wait to hang out with you once this obvious pandemic is behind.
Yeah, you know, I don't really agree. I don't think that it's, I don't doubt that the virus is real.
Right.
I don't think it's as big as they have made it to sound over the last year.
Truth.
It was an election year, and there was a lot of things happening where they wanted the votes. And so they manipulated their congregations in a way that they saw fit.
This whole us versus them, that's psychological manipulation.
Yeah. And when you talk about, we'll have to do a conversation about that one day. I'm just going to leave you with this, but I don't think it's humans running our world.
All right. I can't wait for the next episode, but we gotta hang. We gotta hang in person.
Yes. And you're in DC, yes?
Yep.
I have one of my best friends is in DC. And so I've been trying to make a plan to go see him at some point. And so if I can make it up there within the next few months, I will definitely put you on my list to come see you.
Yay! Alchemy! Alchemy! All right, take care.
Bye.